time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today, my guest in the studio is the country's top naturalist, educator, and author, my good friend, David Alexander. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back.
You know something, David? We're in the studio today, and we always talk about this. You and I would rather be outside somewhere, but today it's in the studio, but we have to arrange, you know what? That snowshoe trip we're on where one of us just happened to break through the ice. I don't know which one it was. That's right. It was me. And the rescue of my snowshoe down deep inside that pond, but got it out because, hey, never lose gear out there. And today, David, it's all about your top 10 and your top 10 about getting started in nature. So we're going to get into it right now. Let's give me your number one.
Yeah, to get started, number one, big or small, any pocket of nature will do. Just get outside, right? You just got to get out. You got to start somewhere.
You know what? I think many times people think that they have to go to a state park or something, but just going to their local parks, your comment, get outside.
Yeah. It could be your front yard. It could be your backyard. Learn some of your local trees. Or, you know, just sit out with some iced tea and just enjoy the breeze.
You know what? While you're enjoying the breeze and you know this, enjoying the birds, setting up a bird feeder and bringing some of nature to you. And that's the cool thing about bird feeders for me is it brings nature to you. I've gotten to learn up close and personal because, again, I know many of the birds. But you sometimes get a look at them or something that you just never got. And I have one of my feeders. You were just outside. And one of the feeders happens to be 10 feet off the front porch, and you just get to sit there, nice rocking chair, lemonade, and enjoy.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, I know they're in no specific order, but your second one to me is, so to speak, because education is important with you. Give me your number two.
Yeah, number two is to get a field guide. It can really add tremendous value to the outdoor experience and uncover stories about what you find. If you're just walking about, you might miss a lot of what's taking place out around you. So having that field guide helps to uncover a lot of the mysteries that surround.
So my question to you is, do you have a specific favorite field guide or guides or a favorite author of guides?
I've got favorite field guides for a variety of the different subject areas. So if you were to ask me about tracking or trees or birds, I'd probably give you a variety of different answers. So for birds, Sibley would be a great place to start. For tracking, you've got Brushak.
Come on, Brushak, Jim Brushak. Good old, and by the way, Jim's a real close friend of mine. David's been with Jim in some of his classes, and David and Dr. Halfpenny. See now, I don't get any money for this, but getting a plug for them. They've written many books on tracking of the East, South, West. They've done a great job with the tracking. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they sure have. And, you know, but I also have multiple guides for each subject area. So one thing that I'll often do is I'll check multiple sources and, you know, see what information different authors might have to share.
And you know something? And I like when people are just getting, because many of the listeners are avid outdoorsmen, women, and they will, you know, have all the different guides, but just the Peterson Field guides. Yeah. And I just love because he painted the pictures. Like there's something that goes along with those Peterson Field guides that just brings you into nature. And I do love those as well.
Yeah.
Now, this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or at one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So, David, in your top 10 on getting started in nature, what's number three?
Three is to join a nature walk. There are so many groups nowadays that you can find access to, you know, especially using the internet. You can find access to all these different groups that can get you connected. So You know, I've got access to groups like the New Jersey Mycological Association to learn about mushrooms, or New Jersey Audubon to learn about birds, or the New Jersey Native Plant Society. So there are an incredible number of these organizations that often they'll have free walks or at a minimal expense, or they'll have a minimal expense for membership. And you can get out and see different parks, different places with experts or just people who love to be out, and you can learn together.
And what I like about that is, and you can attest to this because you're one of them, they are down-to-earth people. So when you get out there, you know, they're sharing their personal stories that go along with it. There's somebody, think about this, there's somebody who you may not even know, but you do want to spend quality time with out in the wild.
That's so true. Sometimes you just have an immediate connection with a group just because of that shared interest. So it's a good way to also make some friendships.
Oh, no, and I know this, and myself is included. You've made some great lifelong bonds with some of, it may be the instructor, but it may be some of the people inside the group, common interests. You know, you're going out for a birding walk, and all of a sudden, a person next to you were chatting, and they're talking about kayaking. You go, oh, you're kayaking? And all of a sudden, by the time that excursion is done, you've already arranged a trip with a new friend to get out and do some kayaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, yeah. David, the number four on your list, because see, folks, you can't see it, but I got to pre-read his list here, and I liked it. Your number four becomes an important thing to me. My great friend Diane, former director of Red Cross, always talked about being prepared. So this one here is, I'll just call it, in the preparation category. So tell me your number four on your list.
Yeah, this is really important. It's to pack a basics bag. So what I mean by that is, you know, you want to have a pre-packed bag that has your essentials. So what might your essentials be? Well, things like water, first aid, sunscreen, bug spray, maybe a flashlight, a whistle. And what's most important about this is that it's always packed, always ready to go. You know, we have so many different interests outside, and I'm always rearranging and repacking and shifting for different seasons and different activities. But one thing remains, and that's an emergency bag, a pre-packed bag that I always have ready.
And you know something, as you're describing that and I'm listening, I'm thinking about in my truck right now, in my backpack is my bag. It's there with all that gear because, hey, like you always talk about, some of your hikes and things are seasonal where some of the gear is going to change, but those things do not change.
That's right.
And one of the things I have is, even they do make some good outdoor first aid packs, but I've noticed that they're, in my eyes, not complete. So I always add some portable splints, a couple other things I add to that with the sunscreen. And I'll just talk about it this way, and I agree with what you're saying, unscented, because I don't want to smell like anything out in the wild, because if I am, I'm attracting insects. And ladies, I always joke about it, but because women smell much nicer than guys, and you do, the insects do get attracted to you. So male or female, I'm going to tell you right now, anything you put on, whether it's a deodorant, hopefully no colognes and perfumes and things like that, but even the sunscreen, because some of the sunscreens have a great scent to them, and they're attracting insects. Don't want it. And that flashlight, sometimes you end up coming back later. You're out and having the greatest day in the world, and all of a sudden you don't get back on time.
Yeah, and especially as summer turns into fall and we start having shorter days. Actually, I was in a park this past weekend and it got dark really quickly. It just happened to be a dark evening, and we were in the forest. I knew the park very well. It's a park I visit often, but I was deep into that park at the bottom of a stream, and a family happened to walk by, and they were lost. So boy, were they thankful that they saw me. I offered to walk them out, and they sure were grateful, because they just happened to have been out on the trail a little longer than they expected, and couldn't quite find their way back. So they didn't have a flashlight with them. I did, but you know, luckily I was able to walk out with them and show them the way.
And you know, it's funny, it's almost like, as you're describing the change in time, it's just like somebody just flipped the switch. It all of a sudden, it goes from light, click, there you go, it's dark. And the type of flashlights, and I've got one LED, little handheld one I love, but then the headlamp, you just put on your head and walk. And to me, having both of them, because they're both lightweight, and right now also both inexpensive to purchase.
Absolutely. Or even learning how to use the flashlight on your phone. You know, our phones now have all these different features. Your phone may very well have a flashlight, but that also means you may want to have a phone charger with you as well, just in case.
And you mentioned in your kit a whistle. And when I first got into kayaking many years ago, good friend Don Beasley, and Don described it this way, because I actually do have a whistle attached to my PFD, my personal flotation device. Some of you folks may call it a life vest. And Don said it this way. He goes, you are going to run out of voice if you're screaming for help, whether it's in the wild or on the water. He says it this way, you're not going to run out of whistle.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I do the same. I attach whistles to my life jackets as well as some of my bags. And one of the neat things is a lot of these bags you purchase now, I know one of your sponsors is Ramsey. Ramsey's got some great backpacks that have a whistle built into the buckle. So that's a really neat feature to think about if you're going to purchase a bag.
Isn't that great? David's out there plugging Ramsey Outdoor. Right? I'm sure they'll love that one. And absolutely will. They're great people over there.
Yeah, they are.
Now, going to number 5 on your list, what do you have for number 5?
It's all about progression. You know, we want to expand in our own zone of comfort at our own pace. So there's really, you know, not necessarily a need to take a giant leap into the wilderness if you haven't yet explored some of our local parks. So I often hear people asking about how they can get involved with this big adventure, yet they haven't really even explored their local opportunities yet. So, you know, take it step by step and build up to bigger and greater adventures.
And as you're building up, in my mind, it's using that local park. You may have purchased a brand new pair of hiking boots. Yeah, before you hit the trail, hit the local park. You may have purchased a brand new backpack. And if you have an overnight pack and you haven't made the proper adjustments and straps, you could be killing yourself out on that trail, whether it's your feet, your backpack, or anything else. But getting into that local park, and when you're in the local park, you're getting to see a couple. It might just be the birds that are there. Whatever it is, you're getting to see nature up close. And the neat thing, somebody who lives in New York City, they've got Central Park, a great place to go to. I mean, I'm a country boy, but if you live in a city somewhere, there still are some great places to get out to. And as you said, progression. Well, let's progress from that park to the next step, which might be a state or national park, national forest.
Right.
Now, you're number 6, and I'm the one, I read this one, and I go, I'm going to arm wrestle with David on this one here. So you go do it, and then I'll talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, you know, with the younger generations, technology is everything. So I say bring technology. I say, you know, don't, the old Buckminster Fuller quote, don't fight the forces, use them. You know, I'm not trying to separate people with their technology. I know a lot of folks out there love it, myself included. So I say, you know, take your phone. You know, your phone is incredible now. It can take pictures. It can track your mileage, your elevation. It can provide digital field guides. It can download maps. So you can read your park maps on your phone. And then it allows you to share all of these experiences that you're having, you know, right at your fingertips.
You know something? And I am agreeing with all the points you made, but the one that I will disagree with, and everyone out there listening right now, you absolutely would understand, it doesn't have to be our youth, even adults. You'll just see them stinking, walking down the street. Yeah. And I've seen this often where they're staring at their phone. And some of them are crossing streets and have no idea that they happen to be in the middle of a street until the horn comes honking. And they're like looking at the car like, well, what are you doing? You know, we've got to get away from that piece of the puzzle. It's almost like that's the time to shut off the phone. But all the other instances you just spoke about, well, yeah, there's an importance to it. Hey, downloading maps. Think about how many maps you and I probably in our lifetime have purchased going into a place where you can actually download a series of national park maps or whatever it is and get some really good Google images on there. Right. Not that you and I would ever be lost out there, but if that was to happen to the commoner out there, not you and I, I'm joking, by the way, it would be a really helpful tool out there.
Yeah, it really can be.
Now, let me just say this, is that when you mention about those photos, well, I am the guy, it doesn't matter whether we're filming for Joey B TV and you've been a part of that, or we're out there filming something for PBS, whatever I happen to be doing, I always have photos that you can take a look at besides some of my comments on my Twitter account. So you can go to Joey B Outdoors. And hey, if you want to tweet me a comment, I love the comments when they come in. Most of them are positive. No, they are. And I do appreciate that. So anytime you want to tweet me, just tweet me at Joey B Outdoors.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn about opportunities, really, to see, you know, what you know, if you're interested in Joey B, you check out his photographs, you can see, well, what's he up to? And, you know, oh, paddleboarding, that sounds interesting. Maybe I want to learn more about paddleboarding. So you can comment and, take it from there.
Well, you know what? Someone recently, you mentioned that, and you know that I just have the new paddleboard, and I'm out on that adventure. And someone just recently said, why have you taken it to the ocean? And I was really out on I had filmed with Steve Ritter, paddleboard expert, recently, and that was for the Joey B TV. And I wanted to learn, and Steve knows this, I wanted to learn as much as I could from him because I was going to make that paddleboard purchase. So I just took it out to the Monksville Reservoir because it's calm, peaceful, just to get the know of it. And the tweet was, so have you been in the ocean? And the answer was no. So I do appreciate those comments now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I saw how pretty that reservoir looked and thought, hey, why don't I check that out? So you just start to see where other people are exploring and what they're doing, and you learn about all the all these opportunities that you might want to copycat.
Well, you know, something that Eddie, and then we'll go back to your top 10. Somebody also sent me a comment saying they missed my. I had the photo was my paddleboard on top of the truck. Yeah. With the Monksville in the background, and they didn't want to know about me. They said, where is that place? I've got to get to it. But, hey, those are the cool comments that you do get. So getting back to your top 10 on getting started nature, what do you have as number 7?
Okay. So number 7 is about learning the concerns that might be in the environment that you're heading into. So, it's not to scare you, but to prepare you, right? So, what are the best practices to avoid ticks or poison ivy or mosquitoes or venomous snakes or bears? You want to know what's out there and if there's best practices for how to avoid these concerns.
It's funny that now you mentioned the ticks and insects. And one time a school had hired me to come in and I was going to be leading a trip. And I was meeting a forester out there who I knew very well. And I, talked to the kids about, preparation and all. So they are getting off of their bus and we're meeting them. And they are spraying themselves
up
head
down.
To toe, deep all over. Was that? Right. So the forester, Doug, he's a real cool guy, says, by the way, do you all know what ticks are? Oh, yeah. We learned all about them. He says, so you sprayed those chemicals to keep the ticks off. You're right. Yeah. So Doug goes, so then why? And he points to one of the students. And he points to him and says, so what is that crawling on your leg right now? A climbing right over all the deep was a tick.
Right.
So, hey, you still need to know about it and be prepared for it.
That's right.
And then the coolest comment with Doug is, he says, so you also know about poison ivy. Yeah. He says, so then why'd you get off the bus and why are you all standing in it? So those concerns, well, we need to be prepared. We need to learn a little bit more. And David, I agree with you on that. And another crazy story is, when you see something out in the wild, appreciate it, don't touch. And that includes animals in the wild. Because people just somehow, and you and I have been through Yellowstone, and people just somehow don't think that they are wild animals. Right. And there was a photographer of recent who was out there taking photos along the trail, sees a rattlesnake, decides that he should get a better picture of the rattlesnake if he can move him over, goes over to try to move the rattlesnake with a stick. He gets bitten by the rattlesnake. He goes to the hospital. And the hospital finds out and they call the state police. The state police come in and arrest him because he was in an area where the rattlesnake was an endangered species and you are not allowed to touch endangered species. So two things. Man was an idiot for touching the snake. And then number two, he gets arrested for it. Well, he sort of deserved that one too. Now, just like you, the outdoorsman, I love bears. But seeing bears, respecting bears, giving them, especially if it's a sow, that's a female bear, and her cubs, giving them the space they need. So these are preparations because guess what? Seeing a bear, seeing cubs in the wild, probably, we always say the special moment in the wild. That's probably one of the special moments.
Sure is, always.
I know you and animals in the wild. Do you have a favorite out there that you see?
Oh, that's tough. Wow. I'm still into the amphibians, you know, flipping over a rock or a log and finding an interesting salamander. That's always exciting. But it's all exciting. I couldn't tell you a favorite. It probably changes through the seasons. There's encounters that I just look forward to each season. You know, it could be birds, seeing birds in the nest in the springtime. Or could be seeing a buck with full grown antlers in the autumn. So that keeps changing as the seasons change.
I was asked by our youth very recently, and they said, "What's your favorite?" And I says, "Whatever I happen to be seeing at that moment, because it's just so cool."
Yeah. It could even be just what you're out looking for, because you might often we'll set up a trip like you and I some time ago took a trip to the Delaware Water Gap to look for bald eagles. So it might be just that specific animal that you're actively looking for that of course will excite you that day.
We're getting excited that day, and then all of a sudden you see some deer tracking, and it just sidetracks you at that moment. But that's what it is. But also having those concerns and the prep involved in that. Now, going to number 8 on your list is something that is dear to my heart. So tell me what your number 8 is.
Yeah, 8 is to make green choices. So what I mean by that is, we don't have to change our behaviors all in one day. We don't expect anybody to do that. But I often try to think in terms of which choice is better for the earth, or which choice is better for my body. So what I mean, something that you could do is you could pack yourself a healthy snack. But not only that, pack it in a reusable container. So that is a better choice than realizing at the end of the day, oh, I'm hungry, and then, you know, having to search and drive for a place to eat. And then to have all the extra material that might be involved with eating out, you know, on the road. Another tip might be traveling together with friends to a trail, you know, carpooling or taking public transportation. There are just small choices, things that we can do in our daily lives that can help us take better care of the environment.
And as you mentioned about the travel, there are so many times where I'll say to people, you know, we're going to arrange a kayaking trip or a fishing trip. And everyone's going, well, let's meet there. And I'm going, wait, time out here. There's 6 of us. So that means we're going to take 6 vehicles, or can we get this down to 2 vehicles? You know, probably with 6 people, getting it down to 1 is difficult, but I've got the truck. But as you're saying that, it's like, let's work together and, you know, become more earth friendly. Me, I'm the organic guy. I'm not total organic, but I'm close to it. And when I can use my organics, hopefully something I've grown or something I go pick out
definitely.
Of Inspector Dave's garden over there. And so it's from the earth. It's something that you've grown. And then I love your comment about reusable containers. I don't know about you, but I have many of my containers for years now using the same containers.
Yeah, me too. I've started to notice that it's really saving me a lot of money as well, as I find a container that I like using. And I like what you said, you know, packing even something from your own garden, that really adds a whole nother enjoyable element to any trip.
Oh, yeah. And my buddy, Dr. Bob, who we've been best friends growing up. And Dr. Bob knows that I am going to bring healthy stuff. So since I bring healthy stuff, he realizes he doesn't have to, because he wants to come and get some of my food.
Yeah.
So you always have those nature, we'll call them nature glommers. Yes, Dr. Bob, I just called you the nature glommer out there. But that's a piece of it too. But making green choices about anything you can do just around your house, which is a piece of nature, going out to the outdoors. And your number 9 on getting started in nature is also, in my mind, links up to number 8 very much so. So what do you have?
Yeah, that's to practice stewardship. And what that means to me is to leave places better than you found them. So wherever you're going, you know, make sure that you're leaving a positive impact.
And I love the saying about taking only photographs, leaving only footprints out there. And it sort of says who we are as great stewards of the earth. Do you have any place that you know that you go to that you may see something you do like or don't like along trails?
Oh, sure. Well, you still find on some of the more commonly used trails a tremendous amount of litter, coffee cups specifically, or plastic water bottles that I don't know if they're purposefully left behind or people just get distracted and leave them on a rock somewhere. But You know, that goes back to green choices. If you've got your own reusable bottle, you're not gonna be the one to leave it behind. But all these disposable materials that we take with us, you know, often they do get left out, and that's you know, really disrespectful to see that along the trail. And it's I don't know if it's an education that people need to help them better understand about, you know, their actions when they're outside and how they impact others. But when I go into a natural area, what I want to see is a natural area. I don't want to find their litter along the way. It kind of takes me out of that element of being immersed in nature.
Well, you know something, and being that good steward, and I actually have a large Ziploc with me that is my, I bring it as a garbage bag. So it doesn't matter whether, I'll just say the team, well, we may be filming and it may be the team filming out there one day, but it may just be us fishing or hiking or doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But you are picking up garbage along the trail.
Right.
And like you said, it's like, this is not part of nature, nor should it be left in nature. Yeah. And we just need to be more conscious.
Yeah. And when we do practice stewardship, you know, we'd rather do things like habitat restorations and not necessarily have to spend our time doing litter cleanup. You know, so there are ways to more actively be a steward of the environment. There's lots of great organizations that do have projects that you can get involved with that can provide benefit to the environment. For example, you know, I've joined my open space committee in town, so I help to manage trails and clean up litter and create better access to these natural areas by removing any debris that might have been left behind over the years.
And see, and as you mentioned your comment there, and think about this. Many Earth Day celebrations across America are park cleanups. Well, if we kept our parks clean, then we can do the restoration. And that's really, if we think about, and I know it's going to lead into our number 10, that's where it begins, because many times you get a youth group that's out there, whether it's a school group or church group, on Earth Day. And instead of teaching them to clean up, because they should already know that the parks are clean and kept clean, and that's important, so they already have that piece of the puzzle, then they can get to restoration. And it might be, like you always speak about, maybe it's reintroducing some native plants to an area where now they're getting back to nature. So getting started in nature, your number 10, that's the lead right to it. So what do you have?
Yeah, it's all about creating access to nature for others. So if you're somebody listening to this podcast, you know, maybe you're already actively involved in nature, in parks, using trails. Maybe not. But if you are, you know, I would encourage you to take somebody out who doesn't have the same experience as you. So, you know, what we want to do is create access to nature for others. So bring, you know, if you have kids, bring them out there. If you have little brothers or sisters, bring them out there. We want to share nature with others and really ultimately make adventurous memories together.
And you see, as you describe that, I'm thinking about, you know, I've been to like a backyard barbecue somewhere and people are, you know, introducing who they are. And I sort of just sit back and lay back. And somebody will say to me, what are you doing? I say, Joey B, Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, Joey B TV. And they go, man, you got the greatest life. And I'm going, hey, I've got a truck and I can load 4 kayaks on it and we can go. So anytime you want to go. And I'm going to tell you, very few people will take you up on, like I'm saying, like you've never, and somebody will say to me, I've never been before and I've wanted to go. I say, here's my phone number.
Right.
And if somebody's going to offer that to you, take that opportunity. And then I'm going to tell you to make sure that you get our children out there. And the best example I can give you is my little niece, Gabby, right now. She is now old enough and I have my one sit on top kayak that I will sit Gabby right in front of me. And we paddle together out there. And she's seen there's a place we call Osprey Alley. And we go out there, and all she keeps seeing is Osprey and Osprey. Yeah. And she can ID them and talk about them. And then she came up with this, because we've been fishing together too. And she said to me, we're in the kayak, and this is very recent. She goes, wouldn't it be cool if you could fish from the kayak? And I'm going, hey, Gab, when you're a little bit better of a fisherwoman and you're a better kayaker, yes, you can. And then the light bulb goes off. It's like, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that just builds and builds and builds. And, you know, when she gets back to school this week, she's going to have so much to write about, you know, when she starts to get prompted about like, well, you know, what did you do this summer? I imagine her fellow students are going to be jealous about those outdoor experiences that she had and her excitement for them.
Oh, and it's funny, but this is about why your number 10 becomes so important for our youth. When I come down, and we live at a distance, when I come down to visit, I will say to her, okay, Gab, what do you want me to bring? And she's the one who will dictate then what our adventure is going to be. She's going, all right, bring your bike down and bring your kayak down, or bring your fishing. And she's saying that this is what I want to do. And it's like you look at your top 10 and they are all important. But if we're going to hand this off, so it's the football handoff to the next generation, your number 10 becomes so important.
Yeah, it sure is.
Now, David, your top 10 is to get people started out in nature. So if you're the rookie out there, you now have a great top 10. If you're the expert out there, you just got, and again, something to listen to, learning. And you know this, we always learn a little tip from each other. So that's just part of life and how we hand it off to each other. So your top 10 is now made for people around the world to get out there and enjoy. And David, as usual, just want to thank you for stepping into the studio and sharing your life experiences with us.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to be here. Let's get out on the trail soon.
So until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.